You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We're not going to get in the weeds of this, but I think it's worth mentioning. Bring Dan in here. Bring Sam in here. It's all over social media that a judge has ruled against Jackson County in a major victory for Jackson County taxpayers with that whole, are we going to roll back the 2023 assessments issue?
You remember some of the properties Good. Had like 200, 300% valuation increases,
higher,
pricing people on a limited income out of their home. Yep. They said this is to make up for the fact that we've been undercharging you for years. The state tax commission said you can't do that. There's a law that states it has to be capped at 15%. And now, after a lengthy court battle, it's now 2025.
The county sued and lost.
Yeah.
So this is good for the taxpayer. Now, the issue always was and continues to be that if you didn't pay the taxes that you owed way back then, you were screwed. Remember, all of the experts were saying you still have to pay it. As bad as this is and as unfair as this is.
Now, does Jackson County, for those who did pay it?
Yeah, you're going to get your money back?
Do they have to give you a refund?
That is not specifically stated in this final report. However, if they do not, I can imagine there's going to be a number of lawsuits filed against the county.
Yeah, there's a lot of unanswered questions to this whole thing. Now, this order directs the county to adjust the property valuations, capping the increases at 15%.
Which is state law.
Or the county's determined valuation, whichever is less.
Less. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cap at 15% is state law, if I'm not mistaken.
So right. This says, as a result, Jackson County is now required to comply with the commission's corrective order, capping the tax at 15% or whichever's less. It doesn't get into what happens if you're a homeowner that you were told you have to pay this, and then we'll sort it out later. Do you get your money back?
Or you lost your home?
Yeah.
Because you didn't pay?
Great point, Dan. Or couldn't pay. Not didn't pay, couldn't pay.
I'm sure there were a number of people that protested and just flat out
didn't pay.
Yeah.
Good.
What a mess.
You know, I just don't
when
know.
Is that election?
That's a good question.
Which election?
For
there's no way anyone involved in that office is going to retain that office or ever successfully run for another public. Well, there's no way.
I don't know how Frank White, with a straight face, could justify these assessments and literally with a straight face and say, well, you know, it's because they didn't increase in the past as much as they should have. And now people are having to pay a much higher assessment. We're just basically catching up.
Do you remember on one block, there would be like one person that didn't get an increase?
Yeah, it was Frank White.
Nice.
And then the next house over, it was like, you know, 200%.
And then the next house was Gail McCann Beatty's house. She didn't get an increase.
Wasn't there a shed, too? Didn't a woman have a shed?
Yes.
Like an outdoor shed?
It went up like 200%
or
something.
It was on a like 10 by 10 plot of land that she randomly owned.
Funniest, not funny part about the whole thing was them with a straight face trying to say that an adjuster physically went to all of those houses.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, we drove by every single piece of property.
To be clear, we did not know. The value that the increase was for Frank White's home or Gail McCann Beatty's home.
And FYI, the next election for the Jackson County executive would be November of next year.
Yeah.
2026.
They should just not run. I mean, why would you even mount any kind of campaign after that? People are so angry.
But Sam, you're right. While we don't know exactly how much their properties went up or down, it was a very common
allegation,
whisper,
yes,
that Frank White's property did not go up significantly.
Still, the most astonishing thing out of all of this for me was that the residents fought back. They appealed the way that you're allowed to appeal.
Yeah.
The state stepped in, and the county, instead of admitting wrongdoing, decided to file a lawsuit against more than 1,500 residents within its own borders to say, yeah, no, you're paying up.
And didn't they use some firm out of Overland Park that claimed that they had, and back to the earlier point, that the firm in Overland Park claimed that they had literally physically viewed every single piece of property in Jackson County.
It was a physical impossibility to do that. If you looked at all of the number of properties.
Right. Well, I think they found out that they used, like, it was something Technical Solutions. I don't want to, Tyler Technical Solutions.
That's right.
Unless I'm mistaken. And it, I think it came out that they just used like an algorithm to estimate the value of the property.
By the way, I'm not going to get into politics, but Cory Booker is still on the floor of the U.S. Senate. I don't
23
even,
hours.
I don't even care why he has spoken for more than 23 consecutive hours. He cannot leave the Senate floor even to go to the restroom. Because that is considered the end of his remarks.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
He is nearing a Senate record.
This is a time-honored filibuster.
Yes.
One for the history books.
Okay.
More than 23 hours on the Senate floor. He has not been to the restroom.
Well,
he has not had any food.
Is there anything against you just letting it go right there on the floor?
Well, speaking of, there's a local story about this where a driver, and this was in the stack yesterday, we didn't get to it, Scott. But some ding-a-ling was going 104 miles an hour in Overland Park, like in a zone that is, you know, at 40.
Not 104.
No, clearly not 104. And I remember seeing it, and I was like, all right, spring is here. People are acting a fool out on the roadways. We now have an explanation for the 104 mile an hour radar gun reading.
Okay.
The driver cited for the 100 plus mile an hour speed in Overland Park said, quote, he had to go to the bathroom, according to police. The driver who was cited was allegedly going 104 in a 45 mile an hour zone at 135th and Knoll. He could have killed somebody.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly where that is.
Right over by CORE, right over the Starbucks.
Church of Resurrection, yeah.
The driver's excuse was that he, quote, had to use the restroom, quoting here from Officer John Lacey.
Duty calls.
We got to get Lacey on about this. The driver was issued a citation with, you want to guess the fine? Ooh, guess.
So he's going 104 in a 45. That's definitely more than double. My guess is the fine was north of
$400. $590. And I don't think they let you double that to keep it off your insurance.
Say 600. I thought at a certain point it became reckless driving.
That's what I always thought.
I thought over 100 you got handcuffs on you.
Did he have to go number one or number two?
Well, I'm texting Lacey now. Did he have to go number one or number two?
I mean,
because if it's number one, just pull over.
Then you're going to be detained for a moment.
But number two, I mean, we've all been there, right?
Are we ignoring the fact that there's a series of businesses along that stretch where he could have just popped into one? And
yeah, like the Starbucks.
Taking care
of. Or like any gas station.
What he had to take care
there's
of.
There's a Zips right there. You could literally zip right in.
Unzip and then zip right out.
And then here's my question. Okay. Like the police officer stops you. Son, you are going 104 miles. You're probably going to jail. At that point, does nature just kick right in? I mean,
I'm going to let it kick right in.
I don't believe him. The only thing I would ever believe is if you are crowning with child, going 100 miles an hour, trying to get to the hospital.
She better be in the passenger seat.
Correct.
You're rushing home because it's crowning.
Dan Weinbaum! Out! Oh, my God!
Well, he's not wrong. Right. He's not wrong.
Peekaboo.
Good one. That was a good one.
Go to break.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So we've been telling you for the last couple of weeks about this 32-year-old man who finally, and Danny used the term, he's a feral human, and he has to be. He was kept as a captive, allegedly, by his stepmom in their home in Connecticut. It wasn't until he apparently set a fire in the 8-by-9-foot bedroom where he lived almost every hour of every day. He was allowed out for 1 to 2 hours a day to do household chores. Clearly, it wasn't cleaning because they have released photos from inside this Connecticut home. And it is disgusting. It is one of the most unclean places that I've ever seen.
It almost looks like a case of like severe extreme hoarding syndrome.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the bed in the room where he was allegedly held hostage, there is an old beat up window blinds, the kind of aluminum ones just laying on the bed with some of the blinds broken. And then if you look around the room, it is just filth. Filth. Kimberly Sullivan, his stepmom, has pleaded not guilty to several charges, including first-degree assault, second-degree kidnapping, in connection with holding her stepson captive in her home for decades and subjecting him to what police described as prolonged abuse, starvation, severe neglect, and inhumane treatment. He's 32. She is now free on bond, by
the way. I cannot believe they let her out. Her attorney said something to the effect of, she might be the most hated woman in America right now, and you can hate her all you want, but quoting from the attorney, like, she's done nothing wrong. Look at the outside of this house, the exteriors. All you see are boards. It looks like an abandoned crack house.
All the windows on the second floor, and there are four that face the street, they are all boarded up. That is correct. And boarded up, by the way, it looks from the inside.
Inside.
Now, her attorneys are making the argument that he was free to leave.
Okay.
And that she
did not.
So was
Elizabeth Smart.
And she did not hold him captive. Now, I'm certainly not defending this woman, but I think you could make that argument in court and maybe find.
No, because if he was free to leave, why are there padlocks on the door?
Well, but she would let him out for 1 to 2 hours a day to do chores. The argument could be made, if I'm a defense lawyer, and I'm not, but if I'm trying to make the case for her, I'm going to say, why didn't he run for the door?
Right. And
every
then
day?
What you do is you bring 9 million experts on, one after the other, who will all say the same thing. It's Stockholm syndrome.
Where he didn't know. He had been held in that room since he was 12.
He doesn't know what a cell phone is.
Yeah. New photos from inside the home released by police in Connecticut today paint a grim picture of life behind closed doors at the Blake Street residence.
God, he was 68 pounds and 6 feet tall, or not 5'9". 68 pounds.
And the way that they described his teeth, or lack thereof, because he never ever received medical or dental appointments.
The attorney, my God, he was not locked in a room. She did not restrain him in any way. Nope. She provided food and provided shelter, and she was blown away by these allegations.
There were two locks on the outside of the door that weren't rusty, like they hadn't been used in a long time. They were squeaky clean, unlike the rest of the home.
But, you know, my heart breaks for this young man. 32 years old, and for the last two decades, you're literally locked in a windowless room. Prisoners across this country who have committed some of the most heinous crimes have it better than this guy did.
Yeah.
He was fed two sandwiches a day and two small glasses of water.
It's not the photos of the house that are going to send her away to prison for the rest of her life. It's the photos of him, Scott, and the injuries. And if you can just for a minute think about what 68 pounds must look like on a nearly 6 foot frame.
The firefighter was interviewed who went into the home first. He said he found the mother and the son, I almost said child.
Stepson, yeah.
In the kitchen. The stepson was underneath the kitchen table in a fetal position, crying. Yeah. And he said he thought it was a kid.
Really?
He picked him up, carried him out, and once they were out of the smoke and in clear view, he realized this is not a kid.
Why is she out on bond?
Well, because she could afford it. I think the bond was a couple $100,000, if I'm not mistaken.
How could she
afford
it?
It's not in the story. I don't know.
Leverage the home? It can't be worth that much.
That home is
knocked down.
That home isn't worth $50,000.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't look like the toilet's been cleaned since Reagan was in office.
No, it's bad. My God bless him. And did you just hear the police department took up a collection and got him some clothing, some books, like anything that they thought would make him more comfortable. You're not going to change. You're not going to fix this. You're not going to change what happened, but we can make him comfortable.
How do you ever make, and I'm going to use this term loosely, how do you make a feral human being, because I agree with your description from last week, how do you make a feral human being normal?
I mean, you know he didn't mature beyond 11.
I don't know.
He has the education. He never went to school after the fourth grade. He has the mental capability of less than a 12-year-old.
Also, I will say this about the fire. Man, he did it. You know, to get out of that situation, we heard he started a fire. Mm-hmm. I thought like sending some smoke signals out the window. This room is charred. This was a fire. Did you see the charred?
Then how did he get out of
it? It looks like
an
entire bedroom has gone up in flames.
How did he get out of the bedroom?
I don't know.
The entire ceiling of the second floor is black with smoke.
Yeah, I cannot believe she posted. Oh, God. She is the stuff of nightmares. I'm going to be honest. She looks like something out of Poltergeist.
Oh, that's her?
Yeah.
There is evil in those eyes. My goodness. All right. So anyway, if you get a chance, if you can stomach it, the story's out there.
I was eating lunch when I put that story in the stack earlier today.
You know, I saw the headline.
Not recommended.
I saw the headline on NBCNews.com, and I thought twice about clicking on it. But then curiosity got the best of me, and I'm thinking to myself, I want to know what this horrible, allegedly evil woman did to this man. And I don't know why I find this story so interesting, tragic, yet interesting, is what is he like now? Check that. Two-thirds of his life have been spent locked up, somebody else's prisoner, again, in a windowless room.
The police chief says it was the worst treatment of humanity I have, quote, ever witnessed.
Mm-hmm. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks on KMBZ. Very interesting. Story here out of England. A woman who can apparently smell Parkinson's disease is using her hyperosmia, which is apparently an enhanced sense of smell, I may have mispronounced that, to help diagnose the degenerative disease early as part of a study funded by the Michael J. Fox Foundation. Joy Milne, a former nurse, claims that illnesses all smell different to her. Quote,
oh, wow.
I would know if someone's diabetes was going off. I could tell if someone was struggling after an operation. The big one was walking into a Nightingale ward with 18 beds in it and smelling tuberculosis. It's not musky like Parkinson's is. It's more of an oily biscuit smell.
Gross!
Her late husband, Les, was 28 years old when Milne noticed that he started to smell different. 17 years later, when he was 45, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Wait, so she sniffed it out in her husband 17 years before he was diagnosed?
Correct. And then he died in 2015 from Parkinson's. There is no cure, but surgery and treatments can help the symptoms.
Okay, so she's like, you know, we know that dogs can detect cancer. Certain types of cancer,
mm-hmm.
or can tell like when a seizure is coming on. I don't know that I would want that superpower.
When was this story released?
Can you imagine?
I thought maybe this was a search and rescue chicken situation.
No. This was March 30th this year. This just came out a couple days ago.
Wow, Sam.
Really, wow. Sam? So listen to this. Milne accompanied her husband, who passed in 2015, to a support group and caught a whiff of the inside of someone's coat. That's when she told the outlet it hit me. Because I was wondering, how do you come up with the fact that you know this thing? She's at a support group for those with Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
She smells someone's coat, smells the same smell that her husband smells like.
So she was put to the test. A professor in the UK had T-shirts that had been worn by people with Parkinson's disease,
okay.
and T-shirts that were worn by people without Parkinson's disease. She would smell the T-shirts.
Got it.
And got them all right except one.
Wow.
And that T-shirt, the story says, belonged to someone who was later diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Well, I hope they told that person she hit on you. We're not sure why, but you probably need to go see a neurologist.
Had not been diagnosed at that point. But if there's no cure, Would you want to know early?
Oh, yes.
Really?
You know, because I would wonder, are there dietary things I can do? Are there, you know, folic acid or exercise? Like, what can I do to help manage what I cannot stop?
Are there certain activities I can do before I no longer have a certain level of functionality, right?
I guess.
Listen to this. She did a TED Talk. She said, what if the young onset Parkinson's disease could be diagnosed earlier instead of the misdiagnoses that we see, especially with women? Scott, mm-hmm. It's hugely misdiagnosed. What a difference it would make. One of the questions I have would be for her. Can you just, I don't know, live a normal life walking through a grocery store? Or do you feel like you are a dog with that sensitive nose where, like, every time you turn a corner?
Do you tell them?
No way.
Now, you said it smells like greasy biscuits, right?
No, that's tuberculosis.
Oh, never mind.
She said that Parkinson's has a musky smell.
Because I was going to say, like, what if she walks past a Waffle House?
No, look up.
Okay.
Really, Sam? Really?
It's a fair question. God. She's going to be lighting up on everybody if she goes into the breakfast restaurant.
She's lighting up on the restaurant, not the people in it.
I want you to look up the thing that you could not pronounce.
Oh.
What is the name of that?
Hyperosmia.
Osmia or osmia?
Yeah.
I want to know how many people have this thing. And if you have it, do you even know you have it? Like, she figured this out accidentally because she went to a Parkinson's support group. It's also known as olfactory hypersensitivity. It can be temporary or persistent, could be caused by pregnancy, certain medical conditions, or environmental causes.
Hyperosmia is deemed relatively rare, which means it is believed to be existent in more than 200,000 people across the world.
Less or more?
More. Not much more, but more. So the extremely rare is less than 200,000.
Man, if you're a janitor, you got to hope you don't have that.
You could experience nausea, vomiting, headaches, or other physical reactions to certain smells. And you may be able to detect all sorts of smells that others cannot. Ooh.
That could be a blessing and a curse.
It could lead to migraines.
One of the treatments is avoiding triggers. But those, like the bathroom, always? Those triggers be everywhere.
Mm-hmm. The owners of a video shop museum in England say people are traveling from as far as the United States to enjoy the 1980s experience of picking out a VHS tape. Rob Klein, age 50, and Chris Annable, 48, run the straight-to-video 80s video shop in England, which features nearly 1,000 original VHS tapes that were previously used to watch movies on.
Be kind, rewind.
The pair both grew up in the 1980s, so they were inspired to create a museum where people could browse VHS tapes, look at vintage movie posters, and even play on retro arcade machines. People have traveled from America all over the UK to come and visit their store so they can have the experience of seeing original VHS tapes in real life. Why? Can't imagine. A VHS store. It's called a Blockbuster. How exciting. The average hopeful home buyer needs an income of nearly $117,000 to afford a typical home in the United States.
How much?
$117,000. Now, keep this in mind. They define the typical home, and of course this changes from because of geography. They define the typical median national sales price as $418,000.
Yeah.
Home buyers in 30 states and D.C. need at least $100,000 in annual household income to afford the typical home in January of 2025.
Did you say 418?
Yeah.
That's not far off for the Kansas City Metro as someone who has recently embarked on this process.
Really?
Sam, I am also embarking on that process, and the market has fluctuated since the last time I was in it.
I've been telling you about this for years. Welcome to the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot under four unless you go to very specific parts.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that my home has, its value has accelerated since I purchased it four years ago.
Sure.
By the way, I'll be in that house 4 years in about a week.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Might be moving in.
Maybe not.
Listen to this. I wonder if this homeowner's house is going down in value. A car has smashed into one home in Johnson County. Okay. It caused so much damage that the people who live there have to relocate. Overland Park resident David Carpenter said he and his wife Karen. Her name's Karen Carpenter.
Okay.
Don't you just remember? Keep moving. You told keep moving. Me love me, baby.
Well, his name is last name is Carpenter. We're talking about a house.
Said you'd be coming back.
No, Karen Carpenter, the singer from the Carpenters.
God rest her soul. She was so thin when she died. Okay. Focus.
Because she had an eating disorder.
Her name is Karen, and she married David, and his last name is Carpenter.
Don't take his last name. Keep moving.
Overland Park resident David Carpenter said he and his wife, Karen.
Karen Carpenter.
Were in their Hunters Point neighborhood townhouse near 117th and Grand when they heard a loud boom Tuesday morning. It was just this morning. They went to check on the cause of the noise.
Was it a big ass
boom? Can you describe the ruckus, ma'am? And they discovered that their home had been hit by a car. Here's what I see. I see a giant old white police cruiser. So Ford,
Victoria.
Crown Vic. Thank you, Sam. Made it a drive-through when it was not. Carpenter said the driver of the car mistakenly hit the accelerator.
Was it the Carpenters who said that?
She also said, why did birds suddenly appear? Every time you are near... Just like me, they long to be, everybody, close to you.
Much like that car in that house.
They are now going to have to relocate. Fall out from the sky.
Whoa, it's picking up pace. I've never heard this song.
Every time.
Yeah, it was very big in the 70s.
You walk by. Just like me. I'm sorry. I really wanted to talk about that story, but it's over. I can't.
The Northland VA is still trying to fix everything up. You guys remember that story we talked about the police chase where the vehicle ended in the roof of the VA?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. What about that?
There was a story recently that they are still trying to rebuild and repair that building.
Believe it or not,
when a car hits the roof, it does a lot of damage.
If you have not looked up that photo of the car into the roof, it had to have gone airborne. Well,
was it the VA or the VFW?
It was the VFW.
Oh, VFW, thank you.
You know what they said when they saw that car up there? It was a Monday. And
what did they
rainy
say,
days
Dana?
And Mondays, they got them down.
Okay, all right,
they just did.
Is that necessary?
That's what I would have thought if a car came through my house.
Now, I couldn't help but notice that in the picture of the vehicle that was stuck in the top of the VFW, the trunk was open. Is that how they got the driver out?
I think so, Sam. Who was in the Carpenters with her? Was that her brother or her husband?
Her brother.
Is he still around?
Yes. He's hanging around. Nothing to do but frown. You asked.
Wait, these are siblings? They're very close in some of these pictures.
Yes, Sam, we've noticed.
Everyone noticed.
Okay.
Why are they holding each other like that?
You know, he was very close with his sister.
In this picture.
Clearly.
God bless her. Taken way too soon.
How old was she when she died?
Very young, like, and before anyone understood what anorexia nervosa was all about.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone around her said, you just need to eat, eat. And then I believe she died of a heart attack because she was so ill from that disorder.
Telephone number is 913-586-7798. We are not taking calls on anorexia. 913-586-7798. Go ahead and say it. What are you going to say?
If your name is Karen Carpenter,
we'll field that one.
Introduce yourselves. Do people just burst out? Yeah.
Totally unnecessary. Yeah, does her brother ever sing on any of these songs?
No.
He just kind of like the
just hangs out
Garfunkel of Simon and Garfunkel.
Garfunkel had a couple hits, but yeah.
Okay, so he's like the Oates of Hall & Oates.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
the clap, watching you.
Okay. some fast food restaurants tend to be more accurate than others in getting your order correct. Who knew? According to InTouch Insight, a company that has been tracking the speed and accuracy of fast food drive-thrus for 25 years. That's what they do. They track the accuracy of orders in a drive-thru. Chick-fil-A is currently the most accurate in America. They have an accuracy rate of 92%. Burger King and McDonald's, this is a lie, tied for second place.
Okay. With is Chick-fil-A also the fastest? Because they are quick.
With an accuracy rate of 88%, and Arby's took the fourth place spot. Would you care to guess which fast food restaurant came in last, re their accuracy in the drive-thru?
Last.
Taco Bell.
Is it Wendy's?
Taco Bell was second to the bottom. Ooh. Wendy's was third to the bottom. Dunkin' was fourth from the bottom. But you have not gotten the worst in America.
Starbucks?
Mm-mm. I don't know.
KFC.
Ooh, really? Oh.
With an accuracy rate of 81%. Okay, let's see what else is in here. And that's all.
It's pretty sad that we have an entire company dedicated to tracking the speed accuracy of fast food restaurants.
Did anybody see the end of Saturday Night Live over the weekend? Because I've went back and watched
it. It's kind of clickbait. Where everyone's saying Morgan Wallen walked out.
He did.
After the good night, everybody.
Right. Well,
they're saying he stormed off, that's where I think it becomes clickbait.
Well, he exited stage front. He walked into the crowd.
An odd choice.
And it was right at the end of the show. I can't remember who the host was that night. It was a woman. But anyway, they say goodnight. He looks over, says something to her. And, you know, normally then they turn and they go into the cast and they all hug or shake hands and say, oh, great show, blah, blah, blah. He says goodbye to the host and then just walks down the steps at the front of the stage and right off camera. And he gone.
Kind of an odd look, and then it became more controversial when he got to his private jet and he took a picture and said, take me back to God's country. And then one of the writers decided to counter that with their own social media post of a Krispy Kreme truck that was also captioned, take me back to God's country.
Well, Kenan Thompson is quoted in this story from NBC as saying, I don't know what goes through people's minds when they decide to do stuff like that. I don't know if he understood the assignment or not, or if he was really feeling a certain kind of way. Kenan Thompson said he definitely saw it when Morgan Wallen abruptly walked off the stage. Says Kenan again, you see somebody before you get a chance to say hi or say good job or anything like that, they just dipping?
Dipping?
That's what I'm just quoting here. Yeah,
they just dipping. Yeah,
that means leaving. To leave?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That would be short for they are just leaving.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Today is April Fool's Day. Do not fall for the Facebook meme going around that the Chiefs are going to bring in red painted grass next season.
Nor that Hunter Dickinson is returning for another year.
Chickens are not being used as search and rescue animals.
And happy 1 year anniversary, you two.
That is not even remotely funny, Sam. God.
Celebrating birthdays today. Logan Paul is 30. Rachel Maddow is 52. Susan Boyle is 64.
Susan Boyle. Yep. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
All right, we got to run. Bonus Hour is next on behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III. My good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.